Let us turn to the word this morning before I start shouting, in other words. Before I start shouting, this morning's scripture comes from First Chronicles in the Old Testament. And we're looking at chapter 21, First Chronicles, chapter 21, when you find it. And we're beginning at the 18th verse. I'll give you a few minutes. And when you find it, say amen. Then the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that Gad had spoken in the name of the Lord. While Araunah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. Then David approached, and when Araunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. David said to him, "Let me have the sight of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at full price." Araunah said to David, "Take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I'll give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give all of this." But King David replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take from the Lord what is yours, or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing." So David paid Araunah 600 shekels of gold for the site. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. Then the Lord spoke to the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, he offered sacrifices there. The tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the desert, and the altar of burnt offering were at that time on the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, this morning we come, and Lord, we are so grateful for you. We are so grateful that you are in this place, and we are so grateful that you are God who meets us at our point of need. We are so grateful that you are God who reminds us, even as we sing love songs to you, that Lord, you are our love song. And so Lord, this morning, Lord, as we come, Lord, we just simply say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And so this morning, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, you're our strength, and you are our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. This morning, we continue our series on generosity. And we have been examining the different aspects of the biblical understanding of what it means to live a generous life, a life of generosity that flows from the heart and out of our heart, the actions that causes us to be a generous people. This section of scripture is perplexing. It's the backdrop of the time in the story of King David. King David, the second anointed king of Israel. And it's toward the end of his life. David, the former shepherd boy, the defeater of giants. David, the student and later enemy of King Saul. David, best friend of King Saul's son, Jonathan. David, an adulterer. David, a murderer. David, a warrior king. David, a worshiper. And David, a leader and a man after God's own heart. David has taken a census. He's counted the number of fighting men in all of Israel, and his servant Joab tried to warn him, tried to say, I don't think you want to do that. Apparently, it was sinful in the sight of God, and the text does not explicitly say why, but it is presumed that it has something to do with David's pride and David starting to think that all of his success was his own doing. And it angers the Lord, and the Lord brings judgment on the people. A pestilence comes and it kills 70,000. And just as an angel of the Lord is about to destroy Jerusalem, the city of David, David's capital, God has compassion and God stays the hand of the angel. David looks up and he sees this angel with a sword standing between heaven and between earth. And David and the elders, they fall on their face in deep grief. David confesses, he repents, he intercedes on behalf of the people. David owns up to his sin as a cause of suffering for the people. And then the angel of the Lord tells Gad, David's personal prophet, that David is to go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Now, if you are like me, this text was assigned to me, by the way. I was like, what in the world does this text have to do with generosity? Thank you, Pastor Will. This is one of the places in the Bible that makes many of us uncomfortable. It's like the loving, compassionate God. You know, we like that God. But this judging, this smiting, and this smoting God, this God makes me want to run and hide. But that is the backdrop of this text. And as we find in our text this morning in the reading, David goes up to erect an altar on the threshing floor. The threshing floor, for you city folk, the threshing floor is the place where grain is processed, the place where wheat is separated from the chaff. David sees Ornan, that's another reading of the name that I read in the text, the Jebusite, and he requests to buy the threshing floor. And Ornan tries to give the threshing floor to David. He wants to give him the oxen, he wants to give him the wood, he wants to give him everything, and he wants to do it for free, and David refuses the gift. David's reply is simply, no, I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. David says, I will not offer to the Lord a sacrifice that is not a sacrifice. I will not offer a sacrifice that costs me nothing. Now, do you agree with me that this is a perplexing text? Am I in this by myself? Now, I've been wrestling with this for 2 weeks, y'all. Because the first question I had to ask and I had to wrestle with is, what's wrong with giving something to someone else that the Lord gave you? I mean, we live in a culture of re-gifting, right? I mean, what's wrong with taking Aunt May's potholder and passing it on to somebody else as a wedding gift? Might help them not to get their hands burned. I mean, what's wrong with that? But I will not offer a burnt offering that costs me nothing. An offering that is given to God, it's a sacrifice. And sacrifice means to surrender, to give up something that is precious in order to honor or to appease. If you give something to God that belongs to someone else, is it a good offering? Katie, our children's director, told me that the children downstairs are planning on taking their parents' wallets and taking your money and putting it in the capital campaign so that they can outgive you. That's what the children are planning to do. Now, that might be costly, but not in the way that they think. Could it be that David knew that his sacrifice and his blessing, his offering and his being made right with God, that it was all tied up together. David was told to build an altar on the threshing floor. And we tend to think of an altar as this place where we come to confess, yes, this place where we come to be cleansed, this place where we come to receive forgiveness. And that is true. But it's so much more than that. The altar is also the place where we receive a blessing. The place where I give is also the place where I get blessed. The place of sacrifice is also the place of blessing. The place of sacrifice, the place where I come to bring my offering, is also the very place where I come to be recentered and to be realigned and reconnected with God and my true self. This text is teaching us this morning that blessing and sacrifice, they go together. This altar that David builds is located at the very place where Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. The place where Abraham on the other side, somebody say on the other side, on the other side of the experience came to know God as Jehovah Jireh. On the other side of the sacrifice, Abraham came to know God as the Lord God who provides. The place of sacrifice is the place of blessing. I will not offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Sacrifice and blessing go together, and sacrifice and wholehearted giving, they go together also. During an earlier experience in King David's life, he learned that it's not so much about the ritual of sacrifice, but it's about the condition of the heart in which we come and we bring offerings to God. He penned these words that we take from Psalm 51. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Offering a sacrificial gift to God is to engage our whole heart. And there were many different types of offerings that could be made during that time. But the offering that David made was a burnt offering, which means that it was a complete offering. Most of the offerings, in addition to pleasing God, the offerer oftentimes would receive part of the sacrificed meat. The priest would receive a part of it, but in this situation with the burnt offering, the entire animal was consumed on the offering. It was all offered up to God. And there is something that is so beautiful about living life full out and living life not holding back. Do you know the difference? You know, we all know when we're holding back. And we often live our life in fits and starts. We know what it is to feel like and to be a recipient of someone else's heartfelt generosity. There is something that touches you in a different way when you know someone put their heart into it. You know, there is something I remember, like I when I make cards now, I send my dad a card, and I was a little bit like, you know, okay, call it cheap, thrifty, whatever. I have issues with giving Hallmark $6 and $7 for a card. So I make my own cards. And every time I'd send my dad a card, he'd say to me, "You made that card, didn't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And it was almost as if he was as touched by the fact that I made it. There's something about, like, someone, yeah, a bouquet of roses is great, but go and pick some wildflowers by the side of the road. Oh, that just, man, that just touches us in a special way. This past week, there was a pan of cake in the break room in our office, and I walked past that cake all day long. You know, I didn't know anything about that cake. And about 6 o'clock that evening, Pastor Will says, "I made banana cake, and it's in the office." And I perked up, and I thought, you know, he teases a lot. And so I said, "Oh, I'm sure Julie made the cake. So let me just go on and go for it, because Julie, where are you, Julie? Julie's a great cook." So he says, "No, I made it." And I said, "Pastor, Pastor Will actually made you a banana cake. It was moist. It was delicious. And I was like, how lovely that he would take his day off and bake a cake for us. Wow. It's just something about gifts that come from the heart that are just that just touches us in a deep way. And all through the Bible, we have the story of the widow who gave out of her lack, and the woman with the jar of nard who gave out of her deep devotion. And they each gave something precious to God. One was a gift that was of small monetary value, and another was very expensive, but it was the extravagance of the gifts, and they were extravagant because they came from this deep place of love and this deep place of devotion. Sacrificial giving is giving from this deeper place, the not holding back place in our hearts. Where is God calling you to live life all full out? Where are you holding back? I will not offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. If we want to truly understand ourselves and understand others, we cannot limit ourselves and we can't limit other people to one or two events in their life. Too often we get stuck on one facet, we get stuck on one vignette, one part of the story, and we use that to sum up the whole narrative of a person's life. We do that with God. But I love reading and studying David's life. David's life is one of the most detailed and expansive stories of what it looks like. What it looks like to be fully human. Fully human and fully living in relationship with God. To know David and the words behind these words, I will not offer a burnt offering that cost me nothing. There is a deep sense of David remembering his journey and remembering where his blessings come from. David, who had experiences of faltering and getting off track and falling down and getting back up. Oh, when we see this, and there was this one piece, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I said, there's this one piece of this story that's kind of messing me up. Because it just keeps saying Ornan or Araunah the Jebusite. Kept saying the Jebusite. I was like, we're supposed to pay attention to that, but I can't quite figure out what it is. And then it hit me. I'm talking to her, and I remembered. When David became anointed king, finally had fought every battle, and took on his full, the third anointing, David took Jerusalem as his capital city. David, the Jebusites inherited Jerusalem at that time. David defeated them. He overthrew them. He took Jerusalem for himself. And here it is in this text, and he says to this Jebusite, I will not take from you what is yours. I will not give to the Lord an offering that cost me nothing. And what the Lord broke down in my spirit, see, when we start out on this journey, David at the beginning of his journey, he's taking for himself. But see, in a mature faith, and a faith that has walked with God, a faith that has started to grow with God, has seen God take you through and take you over and take you to. There is something about David saying, I can't take, I need to give to the Lord because I know what this thing has cost me. I can't take for the joys, I got to give to the Lord because this thing has cost me because it has cost God. It has cost God, oh, so much to walk with him. And so when I thought about that thing, it's like David actually took Jerusalem. But he took this threshing floor and he said, I must pay for it and give it back to God because he takes this very site and he consecrates it. He consecrates it and it is this place that becomes the place where the temple is built. See, what I'm trying to get you to see is there is something that happens when we start to walk with God and we start to know God and we start to let God break us in and break us over. When we start thinking about what God has done and who God has been for us on our journey. And the longer you live and the longer you walk with God, the better you and I come to know how precious we are to God. The better we come to know and the more we see God all up in our life, healing and forgiving, receiving, reviving, transforming, the more we see how much God has invested in us. We come to see how costly this love is that God has for us, a love so precious and so costly that it is so much that God, what did he do? He gave his son. His one and only son, that no one would be destroyed, and by believing in him, that anyone and everyone can have a whole and lasting life. When I think about the high cost of praise, when I think about everything that God has done, when I think about how Jesus has paid it all, oh, my soul just cries out like the psalmist, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What can I give back to the Lord? What shall we give? Hearts broken open, and lives surrendered to be living vessels of worship. We come to this sanctuary and we come to this place to worship, and this place is our threshing floor. This is your threshing floor and my threshing floor. This is a place where the wheat of my life is separated from the chaff. This is a place where we come and we get recentered on what matters and we get centered on what does not matter. Wheat from the chaff, hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. And it is not just in this building, but it is in our daily living, where in the words of Romans 12, oh, we hear, let your life be a living sacrifice, daily submitted and surrendered to God. Yes. Choosing to live set apart, living vessels, daily stepping onto God's threshing floor to live life in communion with God, where we see God helping us and where we see God calling us, leading us, upholding us as we take our everyday sleeping and eating and walking around life, and we place it before God in the day-to-day moments as an offering to God. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent, and this Sunday is an invitation. During this Lenten season, there is an invitation. And this text, I believe, is an invitation for us to take time to reflect, to think about not what you don't have, and to think not about the gains you have not made. But this is a time in these 40 days where we get to sit before God and consider what we do have. To think about not where God has brought you from, but to think about where God has brought you to. To think about where God has brought you to, and we sit with that. And I asked Marshall to play this song, because when I think about the Lord, how he raised me, how he saved me, how he filled me, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, how he turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it just simply makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It just makes me want to shout. I will not offer to the Lord a sacrifice that costs me nothing. What shall you render to the Lord for all his benefits towards you? Amen. 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 Our time is swiftly fleeting.